for all your insurance needs, including small business. She does all that. Henry's with me this morning. Henry, good morning. What's your last name again?
Valenzuela. Good morning, Russ.
Valenzuela. I just want to make sure I got that right. Before I said Venezuela or something.
That's a country.
I know. Terrible country, too. They're, well, they're having...
These days, they're having a rough
they're
time.
Having, they're having a tough time. Now, Henry, you're also something to do with a police officer, former, present, current. What are you?
I'm currently a supervisor investigations unit.
Okay, but this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
That's right.
It's totally SEP.
That's right.
All right. I didn't know if you were retired or...
No, I'm still a cop.
You're still a cop. All right, so I got to be careful.
Well, you know, a lot of people told me I should be careful.
Well, you should be.
I think my job is because a lot of stuff I'm saying is as a private citizen. I think my job is at risk. And
I hope not.
I mean, that's true.
But let me tell you my attitude on that. Look, I'm on the radio, and as such, I represent El Dorado Broadcasting. Now, if I walk out of here and get on Facebook and start, you know, yelling racist stuff on Facebook, they're going to fire me. So I'm responsible 24-7 to El Dorado, and you're responsible 24-7, but that doesn't mean you don't have the opportunities to talk about things in a reasonable fashion, and I support that.
It's the way I look at it is, if you work, let's say you worked at a bank, and all of a sudden you looked at things, and all of a sudden the books didn't look right, and you try to go to the people in charge and ask them questions, and you still didn't get answers. Mm-hmm. Then you asked a few more questions, and you still didn't get answers. And at some point, we have whistleblower protections in this country for
sure.
A reason. Sometimes the word has to get out no matter what.
Sure, and I have no problem with that. Now, that being said, there's those that are going to say that you are distorting the facts or that the city's distorting facts. I don't know who is yet. I mean, I don't know that anybody is, to tell you the truth. I mean, you both may be right, you both may be wrong. I have no idea.
Well,
I haven't done the research you have yet.
Yeah, and I have, and that's the thing is you know the YouTube videos that I put out have about almost 4,500 views in just the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, people watch train wrecks too. It doesn't mean it's right.
It absolutely doesn't mean it's right.
No.
But what it does mean is that people are paying attention.
Okay.
And when you have that number of people paying attention. And then I'll tell you one thing I've been encouraged by is the number of people that have contacted me either through Facebook or through email or on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or in person and have said you're doing the right thing. It's finally it's good that somebody is finally speaking up about
sure.
this. When you have people that work within the city of Yuma, work within Parks and Recs or work within finance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're secretly contacting you because they're afraid of repercussions. They're afraid of losing their job, but telling you, hey, you're on the right track. Pay attention to this. You are right on with this stuff. That stuff is really encouraging me.
And let me tell you, I've had some calls, too, overall about you and Greg. And some would ask me, well, why would you even bring Henry on? He's just part of that whole attack group that just hates the city management.
You know, I'll...
I get that, and I get the other part, too, about Greg being a bad city manager.
Well, yeah.
I get both.
Well, let's talk about... me being part of a group. The other day it was mentioned at a city council meeting, something about give those documents to Henry and his group. Henry
yeah.
doesn't have a group. Henry's
yeah.
Henry. I'm a guy that's putting together information and trying to present it in a way that the average person who maybe doesn't listen to the radio, doesn't read the newspaper.
But you still associate with people just like we all do. We all associate with people. And I associate with a lot of people that would be considered the anti- city group, and I associate with Greg Wilkinson's a friend, as well as those that attack Greg.
I just don't want to get lumped into some group, or
well,
you know, I speak for myself. I have my own opinions. I do my own research,
Your opinions are in line with the group that is generally seen as attacking the city on a regular basis.
Well, I guess I'll say that I'm an independent person, and
okay.
if we happen to share some views on some of that stuff, well, then that's, you know, I'm okay with that. But I'll tell you that there's certainly a lot of views that of those individuals that I don't share.
Yeah.
So that's all I'll ask.
I just got texted, let him talk, and I'm not going to let you.
I don't know if you've met me before, but I'm sure this will be a conversation.
I'm going to stop you, man. I don't care if you are an officer.
I'm a private citizen.
Exactly, and you are a private citizen right now.
That's
exactly
important. That's important
are.
Because, I mean, there's some legal distinctions. I'm not speaking here on behalf of anybody else but Henry Valenzuela.
And that's good, and I like that. The issue at hand is the Pacific Athletic Complex.
Well, that's, I guess, where we'll start. That's the beginning of it.
And that's the one I think that's brought the attention, isn't it?
Well, my first video was on that, and my second video was a call to action on how we can address some of this stuff. But the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex, and let's talk about this, is I like softball, I like OTL, I like outdoor recreation. I think it's important for a city to have those things. So right off the bat, when you start talking about the finances and mathematics behind some of this stuff, people will attack you, and they have attacked me, that I'm anti-softball, anti-Yuma, anti-Parks and Recreation. That's absolutely not true.
Okay.
I'm also not anti-employee of Parks and Recreation. These guys that go out and beautify our fields and make our city look nice, those guys are hardworking. Those men and women are hardworking people. They deserve our respect. They deserve our appreciation. And so let's kind of set the tone with that. As I'm not anti-softball, I'm not anti-city employee, I'm not any of that stuff.
But you have an issue with the complex itself because you felt it was misrepresented.
And that's the real issue is the way that it was presented, and I'll tell you, this is what triggered me to create some of these videos. And there's more videos coming out on other issues, and maybe we'll get a chance to get into that.
I need
that
to help me with videos too, because look, you did it was nicely done and nicely produced. I don't know who does all your work. Do you do it all yourself?
I do it all my. I'm kind of like a one man radio show. I'm a one man YouTube.
Really? I got to tell you, they were well done. If you agree or disagree with video, doesn't matter. I mean, I just thought they were very well done. I'm gonna have you do my stuff.
All right, sounds good. Careful associating yourself with me.
You know, none of that bothers me. I'm already as much trouble as I can ever be, so it doesn't matter.
So really what happened half of the city administration presented something to city council, and if you look at, and then a few days later they put some stuff in the newspaper that came right out of what city administration put out, and the headline is $500,000 in revenue, $1.38 million in economic impact. And for the average person
I got to stop you. I'm getting more critiques here.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
you are not doing a fair or balanced interview by interjecting your thoughts before he finishes
sentences.
I had to interrupt you to say that. I'm telling you.
For all the folks out there.
You think you're the only one that gets hate mail.
I'll tell you, I expected a lot of hate mail. Overwhelmingly, this community has come out in support of the stuff I've said so far.
All right.
So back to what I was saying
I'm going
to
interrupt you every time they interrupt me. Keep going.
So here's what happened is they presented some facts, and in my opinion, it was grossly misleading. They represented that the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex is somehow a success as far as the finances go. Saying that it had $500,000 or nearly $500,000 in revenue, and I know that's a rounding of the numbers, and $1.38 million in economic growth. The issue with that is it doesn't tell the whole story, and the difference is this you advertise for Kathy Nutzi. I used to have that State Farm office. I was a State Farm agent years ago. Yeah,
okay.
And I like Kathy. She does good work for the community, but. So let's imagine this, right? So I'm a State Farm agent. I'm thinking about opening up a second shop. Maybe I'm going to open it up out east or something like that, maybe in the foothills. One of the things that you have to consider as a business owner is how much that new shop is going to cost you, and then how much revenue is it going to bring in?
Yeah, and how much will it just take out of the existing business? In other words, if you open up a new shop,
that's beautiful that you said that, because all three of those things have happened.
And that's part of the issue with the new complex, and that was my question early on. And I've had some quick conversations with Greg before. I said, are we bringing a new business? I mean, news?
Well, the answer is yes. They had 16 tournaments the year before, and this year they had 28, according to the information. By the way, all my information that I come up with and that I present and I talk about is always their numbers, and that's really important that I do that.
Well, that's just lazy. Come up with your own.
Well, the problem is when you use their numbers, it's hard to argue the numbers. Now, they still have, but nevertheless. So they gained 12 tournaments, okay? But the other thing is that they all focused all the tournaments on the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex, and they bragged about the fact that it was open 270 days of the 365 days.
Because they brought them all in there, and not
that was
just the
issue.
New ones, but
you know, I know guys that run tournaments across town, and what they've done is they're almost being forced to use the Pacific Avenue Athletic Complex or pay more money in the existing tournament.
But I think the new complex is superior. I mean,
I don't know why
somebody wouldn't want to.
If you've been running a tournament at Kennedy year after year after year, and it's successful and it accomplishes your goal, yeah, and it costs a certain amount of money, it's unfair for the city to then all of a sudden say we have this new facility and you have to use that. If they want to use Kennedy, why not use Kennedy?
Are you telling me that people have been told you cannot use Kennedy?
They've been told to move. They have to move. Yes.
All right. Well, so, I'm talking. Well, no, you're going to take a break right now. I mean, because that's part of my show. We got to take a break. We'll be right back, though. You're not going away. AM 560 KBLU, it's Russ Clark. We'll be right back.
When you wake up in the morning.
She'll take good care of you. Henry's with me. And I want to say Venezuela because it's Valenzuela, but it's more fun to say the country because that country's doing just fine. That country's big news.
That country's not doing too good right now. I'm doing just fine.
Man, they're just really.
You know what else is not doing good right now?
Well, wait a minute, I got another one that says I'm acting like Jim Acosta. You know, and I want his paycheck. Who's not doing good?
The city administration having to answer all these questions about the PAC. That's who's not doing too good.
Okay.
Here's what it comes down to, is that they represented that it's $447,000 in revenue. I think they called it hard dollars.
When you say revenue, 447, that's a 2%? Is that what you're
talking about? No, it's not. We'll get to that. But 447,000 is what they were talking about in the tournament fees, in the concession revenues, in the ticket sales, okay, and this kind of thing.
So that's what they collected.
Yes.
For the fees for using the parks and recs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what the PAC collected, and that's what was presented.
Oh, the PAC collected. Just the PAC? Not the whole...
Well, all 28 tournaments.
Okay, the PAC.
All 28
okay.
tournaments. And here's the issue is that the year before they collected $100,000, they misrepresented what they didn't talk about net revenue. And I've had some accountants call me about my video, and so let's clarify that.
Okay.
Net revenue is what's important, is what you brought in. If you sell a hot dog for $6, but only $2 of it is profit or net revenue,
right,
that's the amount of money that's come into the city, not the full $6.
Let me ask you a question. $447 was gross. That was the total, not net, but gross, right? $447.
Well, no, because the numbers were all
even
messed
that
up.
Wasn't true.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I was just looking for consistency, but so.
Well, some of it. See, that's the problem is that the way they presented it, and you can it's on the webpage, on the city webpage. You can go back to October 17th and watch the whole thing.
Okay.
And some of it is net, and some of it's not. For example, the ticket sales is net revenue. They only are representing 30,000 of the 118,000 is the net revenue because we had to give $88,000 to the promoter that year. Okay. And so that's, well, you know, however they decide to run that, that's up to them. But my idea is, okay, you're right in only saying that we only brought in $30,000. It would be a misrepresentation on those ticket sales if we said we brought in $118,000. But that's exactly what they did with the concession sales. They said that total sales was $249,000, but the net revenue was only about $82,000, and they used the full $249,000.
Yeah.
Well, and here's what we get down to. We can get into all the numbers and the video. It's a 6-minute video and explains it a lot better than I can here in a few minutes.
But here's what I want to talk about. And we'll get to that. And that's fine. You talk about what...
Here's what I want to talk about is misrepresentation.
Okay.
Here's the thing is that I presented to city council, and prior to presenting to city council, my entire PowerPoint a week prior to... actually several weeks prior to, had to be given to administration. It was scrutinized. It was looked at. Every slide was analyzed. And that's how I know that happens. And the reason I was told that needs to happen is because you don't want to misrepresent to the public or to the council. Well, it's my opinion that this slideshow was analyzed by administration. When it was analyzed by administration, they allowed this misrepresentation to happen. And the reason for that is because they're trying to inflate the amount of money that the PAC is coming in.
Here's the thing.
A lot of our parks don't make money, and that's okay.
They're not supposed to. Hold on a minute. As far as them giving the total dollars, as long as they're consistent, I don't have a problem with that.
They weren't consistent. It was all inconsistent, and they also didn't represent what the new revenue is. Because like the example I gave earlier about if you open up a new shop, it's the new cost of the new revenue of that new shop.
That's fair. They didn't talk about it.
They didn't subtract the $100,000 we made last year that we would have made this year if we never built the pack.
That's fair.
So the problem is, and the other thing that they didn't do at all is they didn't talk about how much it cost to run. They only talked about the employee cost at $350,000. They didn't talk about the $971,000 until it was asked by a city council member. If council member wouldn't have asked that, it wouldn't have been presented.
Okay, hold on a minute. $971,000 to run what? The power, the water?
Yes, the whole thing. The total operating
cost.
Every year? $971,000 a year.
We're talking like $80,000 a month just to...
That's what we're talking about.
And not talking labor, just $80,000 a month.
No, that includes the labor.
Oh, includes the labor. Okay,
yeah,
maybe.
That's total operating costs.
Right.
That's utilities. Okay, and then we have a $1.1 million bond payment year after year. So this thing is costing us... if you subtract the $150,000 that we earned in net revenue, we're losing at $1.9 million a year. And they did not represent that. If the city administration would have come out on October 27th and said we're losing a tremendous amount of money on this, but we still think it's a good idea, and let's talk about the 10 reasons we think it's a good idea. But they didn't represent that. They didn't even present all those numbers.
Let me say, when we're losing money, we lose money on everything city does because it's not a money generator. They're doing parks and recreation.
My point is it's costing us $1.9 million.
Okay, and that's fine. Let's talk about the $1.9. It's costing us. And if it's costing $1.9, that's fair. But as far as making money, it was never done as a money maker. It's not going to be a money maker. It's parks and recreation. It's going to be a park. And that's what its function is. It's a park.
Absolutely.
Now if they've misrepresented on the amount of additional... Games it's going to bring, amount of additional traffic to the city, people coming in to watch games, staying in the hotels and restaurants.
What has happened over the last 12 months has happened. In other words, they had some predictions, and they didn't meet all their goals as far as predictions. But that, if that was the only issue, I wouldn't be out here talking to you on the radio.
So
the issue is that they represented that it had $500,000 in hard dollar revenues, and the truth is that there's a cost of $1.9 million a year, and that is the misrepresentation that I'm talking about.
And who pays the $1.9 million? Does that come out of 2% fund, or is that coming?
All right, so now we get into that.
But now you're saying $1.9 million, and I'll verify that. And again, Henry, I purposely didn't talk to Greg, didn't talk city, didn't check anything. I'm just taking notes on what you're saying.
Fine.
Because I'm going to tell you, if you're wrong, I'm going to say you misrepresented.
No, I'll be happy to come back and make any corrections that you find.
And you're always welcome to.
Good.
You are.
So, but here's the thing. All right, so let's talk about where the money comes from.
Okay.
Specifically on the bond is 2%. The 2% tax was supposed to have covered the entire bond payment. Okay, that's what was talked about in 2015 when this was being sold to us, that the 2% was going to cover the whole thing. The issue is that according to their own numbers, the city's own numbers, the $1.38 million in economic impact only generated $27,000 additional 2% fund.
And I saw that somewhere in one of your videos.
So $27,600 in additional 2% fund, but this is costing us $1.1 million out of that 2% fund. Now, maybe the 2% fund has so much money in it, and this is something that somebody told me. Maybe it does, but I looked into it, and here's the issue. Over the last several years, that fund has gone from $6.4 million to $3.1 million, and that's the last amount of money that we have as actual. But if you follow what the city believes the trend will be, and this is according to the city's own budgets, that thing is supposed to be less than $800,000 in July of this coming July of 2019.
Okay.
So it's gone from $6.4 million to less than $1 million. Why? Because it's running a deficit of $825,000 a year. And we're not like the federal government that continue to run a deficit after deficit after deficit. When we run out of money in that 2% fund, we're out of money.
Well, let's discuss that after the break. And I'm going to go to the break, and I've got some questions about this. I don't know if you have the answers, and maybe I'll get them tomorrow from Greg about the 2% fund and what the future looks like. But I'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU, this Russ Clark. Henry's still with me. He didn't run out of here or anything. Have you been abused yet, Henry?
Other than people suggesting that my job's on the line, no, not at all. I've been overwhelming support from the community. People reaching out to me saying you're on the right track, and keep it up and encouraging me. So that's nice to hear. That's why there's going to be more videos.
I'm getting accused of everything from acting like Jim Acosta to you, or to not letting you speak. I hope you get to speak. We'll see. If you don't get the whole story, I'll come back. I don't care.
So the 2% fund is going bankrupt. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And you say it
has gone from $6 million down to $3 million, and it's scheduled to go down to $800,000.
$800,000 by July, and that's according to the city's own budget.
Okay.
And here's the issue. And so now what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring in other revenue sources to alleviate that. And they're not. I don't think they're being open and overt about it. They're not telling people
They're channeling other monies that doesn't belong there into the 2% is what you feel?
No, not into the 2% to try to address the bond.
Payment. Oh, the bond. Pay the bond out of something other than the 2%.
Right.
Okay.
And so here's the thing about, let's talk about the bond, is that people that write bonds are pretty smart. They're smarter than I am. But I read the bond statement. I bet you there's a handful of people in this community that have read the bond statement.
I'm not one of them.
Right, so it's a $48 million bond in 2015, and it did three things for the city. It built a PAC. It's currently building the Fleet Services building, the maintenance shop, and then it's also refinanced about $22 million in previous debt, which, by the way, of the three things, that was a really good idea to do at the time because it brought us from a higher interest rate to a lower interest rate, and everybody knows that's the right thing to do.
But
let's talk about this. Is at the time that they were going to build the PAC, they were toting the finance director and the administrator were telling everybody that the 2% fund was going to cover it. The 2% fund. If you can go back to the June and July of 2015 city council meetings, and if you feel like watching those, that's what they're going to be saying. They say it over and over and over again about how the 2% fund is going to do it. The issue is I have reason to believe, and I have a document that supports that in January of 2015, they knew that the 2% fund was not going to be enough.
Okay.
All right. They also knew in January of 2015 that in order to secure the bond rating that they wanted, which is a very high bond rating, that they had to tie it to something called pledged funds. All right. And here's what pledged funds are. Pledged funds are for the city of Yuma is the 1% of the 1.7% of the sales tax. So it's the 1% that goes directly into the general fund. The other portion of it goes to roads, half percent goes to roads, and then 0.2% goes to the public safety tax.
So they had to pledge funds that weren't necessarily the 2%.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, now this is the important part.
But wait a minute. The bond paid for more than the PAC. It paid for things.
Yes, but right now I'm specifically talking about the 1.1 million of the 3.7 million that goes to, so the full payment is 3.7 million. Okay, but I'm talking about right now the $1.1 million that goes to pay for the PAC portion of that bond.
Okay.
Okay, and that's according to the city's own budgets and information they presented. So it's $1,125,000 that goes to pay for the bond.
Okay.
The PAC portion of the bond. Okay, so let's talk about that.
Okay.
At the time that they wrote the bond and they were telling everybody that the 2% was going to cover that, in the bond statement itself, it specifically excludes the 2% from being able to be used. It says that 2% is not pledged funds. Now, why would they do that?
I don't know.
2% funds, because here's why. It's not the most guaranteed money, which is the 1% of the sales tax. Okay, that's part of it. Second is that it sunsets in 2024.
Right.
And they knew all this.
Well, and the fact that it sunsets may have made it unacceptable.
And it is unacceptable.
Okay.
So here's the issue. When I'm talking about misleading the public,
okay.
When I'm talking about misleading the public, I'm talking about you're going to tell the public that we're going to use the 2% fund,
right,
and that it's going to be enough. But I have documents to support that they knew it wasn't going to be enough, first of all. And then they write in the bond that it specifically excluded.
But let me say I completely agree with everything you're saying.
I like it when you completely agree
I do. I mean, that's fine. And I'm sure you read it. I didn't. But the fact that they did that just to appease the accountants, I guess I'm not too concerned as long as...
Here's why I'm concerned. Our bond rating in this community is very, very important. We do a lot of things on bond. And so if you're gonna misrepresent something to the bond rating, at some point they're not going to be okay with that.
But it's not a misrepresentation. I mean,
Wait a minute. If you're going to tell the public that you're going to use the 2% fund,
yes,
but you're going to write in the bond... Here's the issue with the bond statement.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The bond statement. Okay, so the question is this. So if you're going to write in the bond statement that you're not going to use the 2% fund, but you're telling the public that you are going to use the 2% fund, you don't see that that's a problem as far as the bond, our bond rating?
I do not. I don't.
Well, that's the first time I've heard that. I want to hear this.
Well, and I'll talk to Greg and I'll talk to some lawyers about it, but I would assume that...
I have. I've talked to people that write bonds.
All right.
And it's a problem.
But let me tell you why I don't see it as one, and I may be wrong because I haven't talked to anybody yet. But if they put it out there just to secure the low rating, which they did, they secured the right rating, and basically like a... But yet they're going to use the 2%.
So are you saying that they lied and it's okay that they lied on the credit application?
No.
Okay,
none of that.
Maybe I'm
because at the bottom line, if push comes to shove and they lose the 2%, yeah, it would come out of that. It would have to because they pledged it, so it would have to come out of that.
The entire it says okay. Let me read you a quote from the bond. It says,
"I'm not disagreeing with you.
Purchase payments will be made solely from herein described excess tax revenue, pledge revenue." Payments will be made solely from that. Not at some point in the future you could switch it.
That's fine. I don't have a big problem with it to get the guarantees and all that stuff. It doesn't mean the 2%. Let me finish. Doesn't mean the 2% can't cover it.
If you do a loan, if you write a loan, and in that loan you misrepresent what you're intending to use. Here's the thing: bonds aren't like personal loans.
When I
pay my mortgage payment, nobody cares where that comes from. My account.
I don't think it's misrepresented. If I get a loan for a car right now, and I give them my salary, and I say my salary is going to cover the loan for the car, and then later I find out I could deliver pizzas and use that to get the loan for the car, I don't think the bank gives a care.
And here's why the bank gives a care.
They don't.
They do. The bond rating is based on your ability to pay the payment with pledged funds. And if you, at the time that you are
that
doing
that, and I still have the job, I still have it. But personally, I'm going to use the pizza delivery fund instead of that fund. The bank doesn't care. It's all getting covered. And to me, I don't think it's a problem, but I'll check it out with a lawyer.
So let's talk about this. You'll check it out, and then we'll hear
how the city moves the funds around doesn't really matter.
Oh, but it does.
It does not. If they take the
Can
funds,
I talk to you about it, guy?
If they take the pledged funds and pay that note with it and take the 2% to replace the pledged funds, I think it's fine.
It's not. And here's
why.
So here's the issue is that when you're moving funds like that and you're hiding money and you're misrepresenting to the bond rating company, it becomes problematic, it becomes illegal. There was a city manager in the city of Ramapo, New York, who is currently doing 3 years in prison for doing exactly what you're suggesting that's okay to do.
Well, and I'm suggesting I want to check it out. But look, if it's illegal, let's put Greg in prison. I don't care.
That's
and Greg's a friend of mine. But I don't see a problem with it on the surface. I'll talk to a lawyer and find out. I got another question. It says, Russ, you need to get a tape of today's show unless you sound like an idiot. That's like every day.
Maybe we both sound like idiots. One more thing about the bond.
Uh-huh.
All right, I don't want to bore everybody with this bond language, but there's one more thing that's important to me, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know how you said that the one point, we want to talk about the PAC part of the bond because the bond builds other things. You know that another portion of that bond payment comes out of the public safety tax?
No.
And did you know that in the 2010 ballot language for the public safety tax, it does not say that you can use that money to pay for a bond that build either a softball field or a fleet services or any of this stuff? The public safety tax does not allow you to do that.
But the public safety tax probably can build the facilities that's fixing vehicles, right?
No.
It can't fix anything. Where does the public safety tax go to?
It buys fire trucks, police cars, communication equipment.
And Henry, your whole issue is you feel misrepresented because of some of the language of the bonds, language of what's going on. We're spending down the 2% fund. You feel it hasn't been transparent enough.
Who's gonna pay?
I'm asking you. Is that it?
It's the whole misrepresentation.
Okay. All right.
It's that you tell us one thing, but then when you look at the documents, they don't add up. And that's my big issue. Is that who's gonna pay Parks and Rec employees when that 2% fund is bankrupt? And they knew that it wasn't gonna be enough money.
Well, I'll ask that question. I will.
Who's going to pay them?
And
you know what's going to happen?
What?
We're going to have to ask for another tax increase. You know, there's a reason.
We're talking hypotheticals at this point.
Well, come July 2019, we have less than $1 million, okay. And we have an $800,000 deficit.
And Henry, it's fair to ask these questions, and I support it. I support the question. Some it seems like it's, you know, it's loss in minutia. You know, it's pledge funds versus these funds versus that funds, and I think it all washes out to be fine. But we'll
until
verify.
You're a bond rating company.
Well, no, I've dealt with a lot of bonds. I have. And if it says pledge funds, I guarantee you that they meant it, and that's what it's got to be. They're not going to lie about that. And if they use the 2% fund to supplement that and put it back, I don't see a problem. But let me verify that. I mean, that may be fine. Don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if you knew that.
You stay at a Holiday Inn last night?
I'm barely on the radio. We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU. Henry's with me, and we've been fighting for 3/4 of an hour now.
So you mentioned operator error, and so let's talk about that. Operator error. Somebody has been in charge making these decisions, and that's my issue.
And you think the decisions are big, and they're big decisions.
And I think they've led us into a bad place.
And you think we're in a bad place. You think we bit off more than we can chew on that Pacific Athletic Complex, and then it's going to haunt us, and then it's going to probably cause an issue in a couple of years to where all of a sudden we're out of funds and we have to raise taxes.
And that's why I'm asking the question, is okay. Are they intentionally misleading the public? And I think that's, and here's, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Is that we had a proposition, 411, to fix our roads.
Yes.
And that didn't pass.
No.
And it was a narrow margin. But you talk to everybody who did not vote for it, and this is what they've told me, and I don't know if you've heard the same thing, but I've heard it a lot throughout the community, is that we want good roads in this community. It has nothing to do with the fact that we don't want good roads.
Right.
Is that we don't believe that the city administration is going to spend the money the way that we expect to. And as a matter of fact, I've talked to a couple of people that were on the committee to push 411. And what they both said is that they intentionally wrote that language the way they did to restrict administration's ability to use that money however they wanted. They wanted to push that money directly to the roads. So when the people that are pushing the tax themselves and the general public are saying that we don't believe the city administration's ability to be able to use that money appropriately, I think we have a public trust issue. And that's why I'm bringing up the fact of this whole misleading situation.
Henry, we definitely have a public trust, but I'm more concerned with the politicians than I am the administrators. The administrators can be fired at any time by the politicians. The politicians are the one calling shots, and that's the one that the state that took our HERF money was politicians. It wasn't administrators. It's politicians.
Well,
and they run the show at the end of the day.
Like
they
to,
run it.
We like to talk a lot about HERF and how the state is sweeping our funds.
They do.
But what we don't talk about here in this community is that same thing happens within our own city. You know, departments are given a certain amount of money every year, and then 5 to 10% of their funds are swept every year. We're doing it to ourselves. We are herfing ourselves in this community.
Wow. I don't know what you mean by sweeping that. I'll have to take a look at that. But yeah, I don't.
It happens.
Okay.
And so here's the thing is, and so right now in the last city council meeting, they talked about that they're going to do an audit. And let me tell you why it's another half measure, and it's another backroom audit, and it's not going to solve the problem.
Okay, the audit, and I'll ask Greg this tomorrow. And you know, Greg's coming down tomorrow, and I'll ask him. But the audit, my understanding, was strictly on the PAC. No,
it is on the PAC. But what it's not
to verify the whether or not it's going to make it.
Well,
it's gonna
here's
have
the thing. We don't know what it's going to verify. The administrator gets to narrow the scope of the audit, and that's why it's a problem. If the suggestion is that the public has been misled in a certain way,
yeah.
and if the suggestion is that the city administrator was involved in misleading the public, then here's the issue: is that how can we allow the city administrator himself to narrow the scope of an audit? In other words, he's been directed to have an audit, but it's almost like you're auditing yourself.
Before I give you my opinion on that, let me tell you, I've got to get Hyundai out of the way, because they're a sponsor of the show, and I got to talk about them.
I like those guys.
You do?
My wife drives a Hyundai van.
Really?
We brought it from John.
Did you? John. Well, I like John and his brother Abe. I just met Abe the other day, but they've taken great care of me. And I didn't. I was not a Hyundai fan. I didn't even know anything about them. When they asked me to look at Hyundais, I didn't want to look at them. I was like, well, you know, that's a, But when I was surprised at the quality, surprised at America's Best Warranty, surprised at how well they rode, comfortable.
We've been very happy.
You have been. Yeah, well, they've done a great job. And the guys over there are veteran-owned, and they're going to take good care of this community. The used cars on a lot, the pre-owned cars, they're all designed to be for the community. And that's the big trucks, the diesels, the four-wheel drives, the stuff we need out in the desert, as well as sports cars that they may not have in the line. I mean, they're a community company. It's a community thing. And,
good guys.
And they have a great nameplate with the Hyundai, but they'll even step outside if that's what you need. We'll get you what you need. I like that. Hey, now getting back to the audit. Audits are a normal thing. I think they need to be done. That's fine. We need to do them.
The issue is that it's not a forensic audit, and the administrator is going to be able to narrow the scope. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to predict
to
the entire.
Let's pick it apart.
I'm going to predict to the entire world what's going to come out.
What's going to come out?
It's going to come out. You know what? Everything's fine, and there's nothing to see here. Well, there's no issues, which is part of the problem. But that's not going to do anything to restore the public trust.
But that's
what we need. We need a public investigation to restore the public trust.
Well, let's take the audit. You and I will bring it in here, and we'll talk about it after it's out.
Well,
you and I,
fine.
You tell me. That's fine. And I'll talk about it with Greg. And that's fine. I like transparency. I like talking about it. I think the questions you're asking are legitimate.
You like transparency. Our administration does not like transparency. You know that.
No, that's not been my experience.
They've come out. Well, let me give you an example then, because I don't say anything without having an example.
Okay.
They've said that this has already been looked at three times. One by a bond attorney, one by our city administration,
yeah,
and one by Parks and Rec. And you know what? The public, I've asked. I've done public records requests for that information, and it has not been provided. I've been told that it's not going to be provided. Is that transparency? So in other words, we're going to hire a guy.
What are you asking for that's not being provided?
I'm asking for the information that went into that.
Here's what I want you to do, Henry. Did you do a write-up on it? Did you do a written request for public information?
Yes.
Send me a copy of that, and I'll go ask for it. And we'll see.
You're not going
to
get it.
Well, I want to see why. I don't know what it is. Send it to me. I'll be glad to. And Henry, I'm all for transparency.
So we're going to hire an outside auditor and pay them whatever, $20,000, $30,000.
Okay. Well, you can't hire an inside auditor because you just said you don't want somebody just to do the administrator's bidding.
But we can do a public investigation. The council has the ability to have a public hearing.
But
that's how you restore public trust.
I would rather
have a backroom audit that's limited by scope by the administrator is not going to do anything for us.
I would disagree. I don't know if it would do anything to have the seven councilmen do some kind of investigative audit like the House does. You mean something when they bring
something that brings everybody out and let's open
and
let's
I think
open
that and I think that becomes more political than it does, you know, factual.
Well, I'm not political. I'm just a math guy. I'm just a guy with a calculator.
Well,
I don't think you want
elected officials doing an audit. I think I'd rather have a professional. But
I trust those guys. I trust our council. I trust our mayor.
I trust their
ability to be able to look at this objectively.
I do
and
too.
Really ask
but
some hard
I think
questions.
They need an audit for them to do it. And I trust one of them.
They're
all good friends.
The
but,
audit is not going to answer the question as to whether or not we were misled. That's not going to be a question on the audit.
Well, write the questions that you want down, and I'll ask Greg if we can't ask those questions.
You know how many questions I've asked Greg directly, and I've gotten no answers. Stonewall. And you know what? Apparently, talking to people that I've talked to, that is standard procedure.
I've had my disagreements with him. Don't get me wrong. I have. But I have found him transparent, open, willing to come in and talk to me at any time.
Forward to get the questions answered that I've already asked him.
All right. Well, then I took a lot of notes. I don't know if you noticed. And I'm loaded right now, and I'm going to ask him more. Henry, I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate, you know, you asking the questions. I think it's fair to ask the questions, and I don't mind grilling Greg.
I appreciate
you. We'll get it done, buddy. Thanks. I'll be back tomorrow, AM 560, KBLU, this rest.